Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna.
Today, you'll be listening to Sean Reed, pastor of the Otsego and Pawpaw Seventh-day Adventist churches. And now, here's Pastor Sean.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. It's wonderful to see you here this morning. Battle Creek Academy, thank you for joining us and leading us in worship. Thank you for the music. It's wonderful to have you all here today. For those who are visiting, welcome. Welcome. Glad that you could be here today. In just a moment, we're going to open the Bible, but before we do that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of holding your word in our hands, of reading the words of life, and we pray that as we do that this morning, that we would come face to face with the true word, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Share. Some people are gifted with the ability to share. Some people have the gift of gab. Arthur Rubinstein, a famous pianist of yesteryear, was noticing that he was consistently losing his voice. He was hoarse, and he would give concerts and try to make comments to the crowd before or after, and people were noticing that the famous pianist was losing his voice. Of course, he wasn't a singer, so he could still give concerts, but the famous pianist was losing his voice, and some people began to wonder what could be the cause of it. And there were whispers in music circles and even some comments by critics in the newspapers. What was happening to Rubinstein? Well, Rubinstein wasn't appreciating it himself, and he decided he needed to figure out what was going on, so he made an appointment with a throat specialist, and he went in, and he sat down in the doctor's office, and he spent the first 45 minutes of their visit telling the doctor about his symptoms, which is a good start, isn't it? And he told the doctor about his symptoms, and the doctor sat there and listened patiently, and finally, Rubinstein was finished telling the doctor, and the doctor did an examination, and I don't know about throats all that much. I mean, I have one, and so I'm not sure, though, what a throat specialist does if you come and say that you're hoarse. But the doctor did an examination, and at the conclusion of the visit, Rubinstein said, "Doctor, tell me the truth. Do I have throat cancer? Am I ever going to get my voice back?" He says, you know, if this is the symptom, the first symptom of what's going to be a disease that's going to take my life, I can handle it. Just be forthright with me. Tell me the truth. I can take it. And the doctor looked at Rubinstein and said, "Mr. Rubinstein, you talk too much." You talk too much. And that was the truth. Rubinstein himself told this story, and he decided to talk a little less. His voice came back, and he was fine. Some people have the gift of gab and talk too much. But all of us are given a voice. And as we're focusing this month and next month as a church family, our theme this church year is the Word every day. Read the Word every day, pray every day, and share every day. We know we need to share our faith. And we know that one of the ways we share our faith is through talking. And we're going to focus on a future Sabbath morning a little bit on how we can talk and share our faith, how to share a testimony that gives glory to God and helps connect people with Jesus Christ. We know the Bible tells us that Matthew chapter 28, that we should go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching. That involves some instruction, some talking. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told his followers, "Wait for me in Jerusalem, and then you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the whole world." Being a witness involves some communicating, some talking. But what do we do with a story in the Bible, Matthew chapter 8, where Jesus said, "Don't talk. Don't tell people what I did for you. Caleb just read those verses for us a few minutes ago. Let's go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and we know the story, of course. Caleb read it for us, but it's a story we're familiar with. When Jesus came down from the mountain, by the way, the mountain, the few chapters preceding this is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus comes down from the mountain, large crowds followed him, and a leper came to him, bowed down before him, and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Jesus performed an incredible miracle. He transformed this man's life. Leprosy had banished him from living with his family. He was unemployed. He wasn't able to come close to other people. There was a distance in his life between him and everybody else. And Jesus transformed him, gave him his life back. Jesus cleansed him. And Jesus said, "Don't tell anyone what I've done for you." Why would Jesus tell someone that? Why would Jesus perform a miracle and then command this man not to tell anyone? Bible scholars have something called the Messianic secret, which is they lump together the sayings of Jesus that are him telling other people, "Don't tell other people what I've done for you." There's this one. There are several others. There, he cures a man of blindness. "Don't tell him what I did for you." Peter, James, and John go to the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, and they see him transfigured. They see him in his glory. They meet Moses and Elijah, and Jesus said, "Don't tell anyone." The disciples, the 12, come to the realization that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah, and Jesus said, "Don't tell anyone." The Messianic secret. Why would Jesus tell this man, "Don't tell anyone"? And what lessons could we learn as we're accepting the commission to go tell people about Jesus? Well, first of all, let's note what Jesus did. Jesus made this man whole. And Jesus makes you whole as well. Before we even think about going and sharing, we have to consider what Jesus has done for us, and Jesus has made us whole. This man, of course, was physically cleansed, physically made whole. Some of you have experienced that, dealing with illness or injury and experience being whole again. This man also, I have to believe, had his life transformed spiritually, don't you think? If you have a life-changing interaction with Jesus, it's going to go deeper than the exterior. It's going to catch your heart. This man experienced cleansing, and the cleansing we all need more than taking a bath, yes, or physical wholeness is spiritual cleansing. We carry a weight of sin and guilt. We're tainted by misdeeds in our lives. We carry with us the negative words that others have spoken to us, the negative self-thinking thought that we have about ourselves. There is so much that we carry that clutters up our minds and our souls, our hearts. Jesus can cleanse that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful promise. I like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, speaking about God's desire to make us whole, make us clean. "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses to them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." We become ambassadors. We are reconnected with God through Jesus. We're made whole. Relationships are restored. The most important relationship with is the relationship between you and Jesus. That's what happens. Jesus makes you whole. And he appoints, commissions, anoints you, me, to be his ambassadors. Jesus made this man whole. Jesus makes you whole. And when Jesus does something in your life, Jesus gives you a story to share. We call those testimonies, don't we? You have a testimony. You have a witness to share with others. And sharing Jesus is important. Of course, there's a reality that when something incredible happens in your life, you want to tell other people about it. There's something incredibly important for our spiritual growth, to be active in sharing Jesus with others. Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, spoke about how important it is for us to be willing to publicly confess our faith in Jesus. Therefore, everyone who confesses me, Jesus says, before others, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me, I also must deny him before my Father who is in heaven. There's something important about being open about our relationship with Jesus. You know, you think about it. If someone is about to get married, we have two people in our congregation this morning who are about to get married, and you're talking to someone, and this individual says, I'm about to get married. And you say, oh, that's exciting. Okay. Well, who are you marrying? I don't want to tell you. Would you be concerned? Would you think maybe this person shouldn't be getting married to that person? I mean, there should be some enthusiasm, shouldn't there be? This is a life-transforming experience, a lifelong commitment. There should be some joy and a desire to let other people know. You know, the reality is most people who are engaged, when you are engaged, you like to tell people as many people as you can. You may not invite them all to your wedding, but you want people to know what's happening in your life. Jesus gives you a story to share. He makes you whole, and you have a story to share. It may not be a Ron Halverson story. Are you familiar with Ron Halverson? He's passed away. He was a longtime Adventist evangelist and pastor, and he grew up in New York City, and he was in a gang, and I remember listening to American Cassette Ministry cassettes about Ron Halverson's testimony, and it was this exciting story about, well, all sorts of things, and things that were not a part of my life growing up in a Christian home. And he had this exciting testimony of how God had rescued him from the gangs, and he had stories about an evangelistic series, and I won't tell you his story. You can go read his book or listen to his sermon, his testimony sometime, but it was an exciting story. Your testimony may not be a Ron Halverson story. But Jesus has done something in your life. He has. And you have a story to share. We'll be looking in just a couple weeks about how we can effectively share that story, how we can recognize the story God has given us. Your story is important of what God has done in your life. In Revelation chapter 12, we find a story of God's people being persecuted, fleeing for their lives, attacked by the evil one, the dragon, Satan. And it notes in Revelation 12:11, in the middle of the story about God's people fleeing into the wilderness and God protecting them, it says this: they overcame the dragon because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. What a powerful testimony. They were able to overcome the attacks of the evil one because of the blood of the Lamb. We don't want to forget that. That's what's most important. And because of the blood of the Lamb, you and I have a testimony. We have a story to share. Your story matters. Your story should be shared because your story is the gospel. It's the good news of what Jesus has done in your life. So it begs the question, why did Jesus tell this leper whose life had been changed, his life had been made whole, he had been cleansed, Why did Jesus tell him, "Don't tell anyone what I've done for you"? Well, the reality was, this leper was a talker. We know that from the parallel account of this story in Mark chapter 1, because in Mark 1 verse 45, it says, this man went and told everyone. Everyone! He told everyone what Jesus had done for him. In fact, he told so many people that it created such interest in the ministry of Jesus that Jesus couldn't go into a city anymore. He only could go into cities secretly because if people spotted Jesus, they would crowd around him. So that's one reason that Jesus told him, don't tell anyone, because God knows the end from the beginning. Jesus can see around the corner. He knows what's coming. And Jesus knew that with a public proclamation of what Jesus had done in this man's life, this is towards the beginning still of Jesus' ministry, Jesus knew the excitement would create challenges for Jesus being able to publicly minister. And so it was going to impact the ministry of Jesus, have a negative impact. So God knows and God understands and how we should relate and how we should share and how we should testify in any given circumstance. There's also, I think, another reason that Jesus told this man, don't tell others, because of the impact on this man. Jesus knew he was a talker. We don't know if he was a pianist, but he was like Rubinstein. He was in danger of going hoarse from sharing so much. And there were two possible reasons Jesus wouldn't want him to share because of how it would impact him. One, it could distract him from going to the priest and being declared whole and cleansed. It was a priority for this man to go to the priest. Before he went to the priest, he wasn't really supposed to interact with other people. So if he's telling people about what Jesus has done for him, it might distract him from obeying Jesus and going to the priest. Might get distracted. You know, this morning, I was talking to the director for the BCA choir, and she asked me a question. She said, could we have a bulletin for each one of the students? And I said, of course, I'll get those for you. And I don't know, do you guys have bulletins? Oh, good. Okay, you do. Because I went back to the foyer to get a stack of bulletins, and somebody said, Pastor. And I stopped, and I talked to that person, and I forgot about the bulletins. So somebody else, McCall, you did. Thank you very much. I got distracted. We can easily get distracted. So perhaps Jesus knew this man, and he knew how easily he would get distracted. But there's a second reason. The priests, who according to what God had instituted in the Old Testament, were the ones commissioned to be the dermatologists of the day. They would examine a skin condition, and they would say, this is leprosy, you need to be banished. Or you were healed, and you would come to the priests, and they would examine you and say, you're clean, you're whole, you can be restored to society. Jesus knew the priests didn't like Jesus. And if the word is getting back to the priest, it could prejudice them. They may not be so willing to declare this man clean and whole. And Jesus' desire for him was that he would experience the benefits of being clean, of being able to move back to his family, to re-enter employment, to live the life that had been stolen from him by the disease. And so Jesus had a good reason for why he instructed this man, don't tell anyone. It wasn't an open-ended instruction. There was going to be a time when he could tell people about what Jesus had done for him, but in the moment, it was important that he stay focused on what God had instructed him to do. See, Jesus, and you can see this with the cleansing that Jesus does for lepers throughout his ministry, he always tells them, go to the priest, go to the priest. When he heals the 10, go to the priest. Only one comes and thanks Jesus. They all go to the priest. Why? Because that's the instruction of God's word. If somebody had leprosy, the priest was the one who would say they had leprosy. When they were whole again, the priest was the one who would say, you are whole. And then there was a sacrifice to present. A sacrifice of thanksgiving and repentance even, yes, to God for being restored. That's what God had instructed his people to do. And you can look through the ministry of Jesus in the New Testament. The Jesus in the New Testament doesn't contradict the Jesus of the Old Testament. He is the lawgiver in the Old Testament. He is the law upholder in the New Testament. We recognize, of course, that those instructions about the cleansing and the sacrifices all pointed forward to Jesus. At the death of Jesus on the cross, no longer was it appropriate to offer sacrifices. If Jesus had healed somebody after his resurrection from leprosy, he wouldn't have told them to go to the priest, because the sacrifices were no longer part of God's will for his people. But this is pre-cross, and Jesus makes it clear you still need to follow God. You still need to obey him and do as he has instructed. It's important. It's important for us. When Jesus does something remarkable in our lives, when he makes us whole, when he gives us a story to tell, that we not lose sight of continuing to follow the words of Jesus. We want to obey him. We want to follow him. Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, speaks about Enoch, and it says that Enoch had this testimony: he pleased God. That's the best testimony you and I could have, is a testimony that we please God. Remember when Samuel and Saul in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 15, had an interaction. Saul was supposed to wait, and the army of Israel was to wait for Samuel to show up and offer a sacrifice. They were to wait 7 days. Saul gets impatient. He goes ahead and offers the sacrifice. That's what Samuel was supposed to do. Samuel comes and he tells Saul that to obey is better than sacrifice. So could we say in this context that to obey is better than witnessing? That to obey is better than sharing? That to obey is better than proclaiming? I think so. Now, of course, it's true that one of the things we're commanded to do as Christians is to proclaim, is to share, is to tell. But the story of the leper in Jesus' instruction for him to keep quiet and to focus on obeying the instruction of Jesus, not to get distracted, I think has an important lesson for us as well. In Titus chapter 1, verse 16, speaking about those who don't really know God, it says they profess to know God, but by their deeds, they deny him. Talk can be cheap. Sometimes it's easier to say the right things. Actually, I should say that back. It's always easier to say the right thing than to do the right thing. It's easy to talk. It's not so easy to live. Let me highlight, by the way, we're not talking about salvation, are we? We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. He fills our lives with his love and cleansing power, his forgiveness and his grace, and transforms us. We're talking about the life we live when Jesus has done something remarkable in our lives. We walk with him. Moses' instruction was God's instruction in the Old Testament, that Jesus had told this young man, or maybe he wasn't young, this man, to go to the priest, offer the sacrifice, be declared clean. And it said that that act of obedience would be a testimony to them. So he had a testimony to share. But in this instance, Jesus said, the testimony I want you to share is the testimony of obedience. When you show up to the priest, and without even telling them what has been done for you, they'll see you're clean, they'll pronounce you clean, that will be a testimony. Your obedience will be a testimony. So there's a third lesson I think we can take from this story. The first one is Jesus makes you whole. Amen? And when Jesus makes you whole, he gives you a story to share. Share your story. Share your story through a life of loving obedience, of performing the duty that God has given you where you're at. By choosing to walk in the light of God's word that he's revealed to you already. By prioritizing the command of God's word in your life in this moment. Your life, my life, our lives are made up of numerous moments. That's what a life is, isn't it? It's this moment, and 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 this moment. And in this moment, when I choose to lovingly obey God, that is building a life of faithful obedience. And in this moment, when I choose to lovingly obey God, that is building a life of faithful obedience. And in this moment, and in this moment, and as Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, you'll walk with me, you'll obey me. That's building a life of faithful obedience. So perhaps what Jesus was telling this cleansed man was, don't let talking distract you from following. Following my instructions, following my lead, following the master. We live in a world indeed, talk is cheap and it's too abundant, but a life of faithfulness, that is rare indeed. Jesus is calling you and me to be his witnesses, to share Jesus with others. And there's a place for talking. And the reality is we probably need to talk about Jesus more, shouldn't we? There are many times when we're perhaps a little too shy or nervous or withdrawn, and we're not willing to share publicly or even privately with someone else what Jesus has done for us. But the most effective witness is always in the context of obedience. We see this illustrated. You know, sometimes we read in the news of a well-known Christian leader who, sometimes people say, fall from grace. Well, we don't fall from grace, right? Because God's grace is always there and available to us. But a well-known Christian leader who, because of some moral failure of some sort or another, is no longer in a position of leadership. It seems to happen almost monthly. And you wonder why. And here's, I think, one of the reasons why. I think it's easy for believers, whether you're in a position of public leadership or private leadership or whatever role you might be serving the master in, it's easy to feel that if I'm doing God's work, if I'm sharing Jesus with others, that can make up for the lack of personal piety and obedience in my own life. And there begins to grow a disconnect, a willingness to maybe talk about Jesus, but a life that's not lived following Jesus. God is calling you and me. He's calling each one of us. He's calling us to share. That's our commission as believers, as Christians. We are commissioned to share Jesus with others. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today we thank you that your Spirit is indeed here, that you will guide us moment by moment, day by day. And our desire is to faithfully follow you, that our lives would provide a context for an effective sharing of Jesus with others. So, Father, today, I ask that you would call our attention to the present duty, to the light that is shining on our path this moment, and that you would inspire and convict us day by day to walk with Jesus, that our lives of loving faithfulness and obedience to you would make us powerful witnesses for Jesus Christ, so that our story could become someone else's story, that your kingdom would grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Sean Reed, pastor of the Atsego and Pawpaw Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed his sermon, why not visit one of his churches this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You'll find the Otsego Seventh-day Adventist Church at 218 South Farmer Street in Otsego, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Or you could visit the Pawpaw Seventh-day Adventist Church at 60409 M40 Highway in Pawpaw. And their church service begins at 11 a.m. as well. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.